tea. You know, so for those of you that don't know, England does not, that I recall, they don't celebrate Mother's Day like we do here in America. In fact, there are a few things. Someone asked me one time, does England have a 4th of July? And I went, yeah, they have one, they just don't celebrate it. They really don't. And the reality is that we do celebrate the 4th of July. I'd like for you to take your Bibles. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. And we're going to read, Lord's willing, we're going to try to read the entire passage. And the title of this today is called The Voice of Wisdom. Now, we try to be as wise as possible, not to where it's overly complicated, or that we walk around with a piety that is not natural. But we do want us, we want to be able to say that we are really a wise group of people. You know, there's been many blessings that have come my way in my lifetime. I mean, who would have ever thought that a young boy grew up there in southern Ohio, you know, here in this part of West Virginia and Kentucky, the tri-state area, that I would end up going all across the country, all across the world. I'd end up in England. I'd end up in Germany. I've been to Belgium. I've been to Italy. I've been through Sweden or Switzerland. I've been through Austria and many other places. I've been to Africa. I've been Mexico, Canada, many places. And people would say, "Wow, you know, you're well traveled. You know, that makes a lot of sense." But even make more sense when you realize that I grew up in this area. How many other people have had that same opportunity to travel extensively like I've been able to travel? Or how many people can actually say that they've had the opportunity to preach the to Malawians or Mozambicans and, you know, to be able to express to them the things of God? And I've worked with many missionaries many times, or interpreters. In fact, I will say this, is that many years ago I was preaching in Mozambique. And what's interesting is that the conversation is very similar to Malawian. And so the reality is I had a Malawian interpreter beside me, and he took the message, and when I preached that foxes have holes, you know, from the scripture, I thought every culture had a fox. Africans don't. They have dogs. And so when he said, when I said foxes have holes, he goes, "What's a fox?" I never anticipated that there would be a problem. And this, the reality is that it's a wild dog is the only thing you can interpret it back. But here's the thing: what is wisdom? And when I think about wisdom, this is not necessarily something that comes, you know, what we would talk to our ladies about as far as it being something from our women on Mother's Day or anything of this nature, but grabbing the things of wisdom, grabbing the source of life, not a changing wisdom, but something that is sure, that is going to stand. I really feel a lot for many of our young people that are going through school today, especially here in America, because the wisdom that they're going to face is not the biblical wisdom that we grew up with, but instead they're going to be talking about the cultural wisdom of the world. Now here in Proverbs chapter 13, follow along with me if you will. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips hath destruction. The soul of the slothful desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth a sinner. There is that maketh him yet hath nothing. There is that which maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be renewed. The law of the wise to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wrath of the sinner is to be laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that destroyeth for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to satisfy another soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Now I know that all of these things that we just read are not connected together, or they don't seem to have a connection. And yet there is a way that I can show you the connection if you will bear with me today. And so we're going to look at the voice of wisdom as we see it today, and I pray that the Lord will give us that which we need. Let's go to the hymn in prayer. Again, Father, as we spend time around your word, I pray that, Father, that you will guide us and that you will keep us in the truth of the things that you have written. Help us, dear Father, to understand the things that are written. Though, Lord, many times we hear these things and we might know them for what they say, oftentimes, Lord, we don't think about how important they truly are to us. Help us then, dear Father, to be wise, not in our own conceits, but, Father, to know what you would have for us today. Help us, dear Father, to guide, and help us, Father, to understand. Help us to truly trust in you for all things, and guide us in this day. Help us, dear Father, to be faithful, and guide us and watch over us. May we rejoice in thy precious name, for it's in Christ we pray. Amen. How do we see wisdom? Now, I thought about this as I was writing this down. Is wisdom something that talks to us, or is this something that just lays dormant? If I go back to chapter 8, and I want to show this to you, if you will. In chapter 8, we find this application. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Does not wisdom cry?" Now, for there to be a cry, that means there has to be something that is paining it, something that causes there to be a pain of wisdom. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that here in America, a lot of things that we have here in chapter 13 don't seem like they make an application. We're used to living off the fat of the land. We're used to having the best of things there are. Those that really want to work, those that really want to have something in their life and in their care, they are going to look for things that are going to be of a help. But oftentimes, the things that really destroy us, the things that don't really happen to us in the way that they should, is because we are not paying attention to those things that are around us. Now, I want us to go to chapter 13 just for a moment. And I want us to look at what it says in regards to a wise child. Now, we see the word son, but understand this, and that the proper avenue for English, as with all language, is that it should default back to the masculine. It wasn't until many years, I think I was a senior in high school, that they began to introduce masculine and gender equality for men and women. And that led to a confusion in many ways. May I point this out to you? Anytime that we see the word he, it now means he and she and him and her. And if I was to add that just to the Bible, that Bible that I carry around right now would be twice as thick. The reality is that if I understand the Bible and its wisdom as it applies, everyone can benefit. A wise son hears this thought. And I think that, you know, I was a wise son, but I had to have wisdom sometimes beaten into me. Now, for those of us that know exactly what that means, how many of us have really obeyed the Ten Commandments just in themselves? Now, understand this, is that I never wanted to rebel against the Ten Commandments, but the hardest part of my life was that we are. But I'll give you a close example. Many years ago, on my parents' property, Dad wanted to raise chickens. I have no clue why he wanted to raise chickens, but he did. And I remember he built a little chicken pen and things like that, and he put a metal roof on it. And his statement to me was, because of the way it was built, and Greg heard it as well, he said, "Do not jump off of this building." Now, it didn't matter if anybody else jumped off of it, but I wasn't to jump off of it. And one day, the devil came up in the form of a boy that was down the street, and he said, "You know, it'll be a lot of fun to jump off that building." And we jumped off that building, and I said, "No, Dad said, don't do it, don't do it. Oh, your dad just don't want you to have any fun." And it just so happened that at the end of the building, you could literally crawl up in the back easily enough and climb up and jump off that six-foot jump at the very front of the building, or 6 or 8 feet, I don't remember what it was. But the reality is after a while, what I didn't know was that it was bending down that corner in the very front of the building. So when Dad finally showed up, the first question he asked was, "Who jumped off that building?" Guess what Greg and I did? We blamed the kid down the street. We wanted that kid to be thrown under the bus quickly. Now, it didn't matter that that kid enticed us to jump. We knew the rules. And as soon as we jumped, it's the first time that I think he ever spanked me with a smile on his face. And I mean, he literally enjoyed spanking the dickens out of me. And I was upset because the fact is I got a spanking, but I was even more upset at the little boy down the street who got away, you know, scot-free from it. And any time that he wanted to jump off that building again, I wanted to tear into that boy. That's all there is to it. The reality is, wisdom has a place. I remember this is that many times when I was pastoring down in Burnside, Kentucky, I would have a man come to me and he would say, "All of these things are going to be measured against the pride of the eyes, or the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life." And literally he was quoting the scriptures to me from 2 John chapter 2. And the reality is that the more they begin to make that presence, that these things are going to be ever in my mindset, I understood it. So the reality is, I started studying the Proverbs. Many of you know that I did what is called the 31 Days with Jesus program, in which we take one proverb a day and we look at it. But how many of us understand that the very first verse literally leads us in the rest of it? I'll give you an example. "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." That is what this entire chapter is all about. Am I listening? And I can't help that. You know, the reality is that whether you're tuned in or whatever, you don't want to be paying attention to the things that are given, but they are there. And the reality is that if we listen to what is written, there is a great value. Notice that we find immediately that Solomon not only put these together, but he also pointed out the fallacy of the world and the verse 2. a man shall eat good. And I want to show you what we are speaking of when it comes to that fruit that should be coming out of us. In Galatians chapter 5, I want us to go down to verse 22 and notice what it says. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me ask you. By me saying to someone, I love you, is that enough? Shouldn't my actions demonstrate love? What about joy? What about peace? What about such there is no law? We ought to be out of my mouth sweet to the point and not give any room for argument. But do you know that in this world, there's a lot of people that they want to do everything they can to twist what we say, and so I look quickly and sincerely and move along. Look what else it says. It says, but the soul... How many of us have everything in their power to provoke us to do wrong? Now, it could be children, it could be our own children, I should say that, it could be a co-worker, whatever, and they want nothing to do with the things of God nor what it says, but reality is that they don't have to understand that. Now, please understand that. That's what the same application. Look what it says, and let's go down to verse 8. And it says, my son, hear the instruction of my father. You know what's interesting? From the time that I was able to go out on my own, I still recall. How many of us realize that? I remember that my dad would make the statement, 8 or 9 o'clock, you should be home. It stayed with me. And even though I had to get up early, you make sure that you bring that girl up out. You know what that meant. And when I got home that evening, my dad looked at me and he goes, did you deliver? I said, well, this is it for me. And I kissed mom, he slapped me and went to bed. Anyway, but the reality is, and now here's where we run into many troubles in the world which we live in. We are you know, every now and then I would get something that goes back to the 1950s, early 50s, early 60s. How many of us remember the Andy Griffith Show? And when we had the Andy Griffith Show, there was always a bit of wisdom. And the reality is that I remember the very early part, wanted to be this, wanted to be that. And his dad said, he's not capable of making those decisions. But what are we doing today? We are forcing kids to make decisions that they're not. But this is an 18-month-old kid. And I said, I'm getting ready to have my lunch with me. I said, would you like to have my lunch? And next thing I know, I'm sharing french fries with that boy as much as anything else. And we began to be fast friends. She said, you made a friend today. I said, doesn't matter. What I'm instructing should be biblical instruction. Now understand this, I work for a biblical company, but there's a lot of people that have come in that have nothing to do with the Bible. And you can see it in their makeup, you can see it in what they wear, you can see everything about them. They are falling after evil, but I have wisdom. Wisdom cries out and not just provoke these things. In fact, I want you to think about this. I don't know if Solomon wrote all of these things, but I do know that Solomon collected them all. And reality is that many times, and I know that all across our country today, people are going to take Proverbs 31, and they're going to preach from that. And but here's the reality. Who is a virtuous woman and who can find her? Now, understand this. I believe that in one part of that virtuous woman is someone who's industrious, someone who never sleeps, make sure that everything's taken care of. And maybe that sounds good to the individual, but is that really what I want? Wisdom should say, look at yourself, keep yourself carefully. I'm going to just give you an example. In Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 22, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of a sinner is laid up for the just. Now, everybody with me? We'll read down verse 24. Before 22 can come into place, really 24 has to happen. How many times did it break our heart to spank our children? Or to be spanked? Do you realize that the reason that we were being spanked is because we wanted to be the right person to endure for today? I don't think my mom and dad had any idea that today would end up the way it did. I don't think my mother and father had any clue that we would be facing homosexuality, woke situations, and religion as it's going down the hill fast. But the reality is, in verse 22 it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now think about that for a moment. Did I deserve every spanking? Not only did I deserve them, I wish my dad had spanked me more. And I hated dad spanking me. I remember one time I was in the bedroom, and this was Sunday right after church, and I hang out my clothes, and I felt a belt come around me. And I grabbed that belt, and I clenched my fist. I thought it was Greg. I thought Greg was coming in to play a trick, and it was dad. I suddenly released my grip. I went down. He said, if you ever feel froggy, hop on. And the reality is that I learned something. Better make sure who it is that you're clenching your fist after. I bring all these things up because I share with a lot of people the wisdom of my parents in a very strong way. I remember that from the time that my mother and father were saved, they made sure that I was in the house of God. And those of you that knew my parents and knew them well, they wanted to make sure not only their children were in the house of God, but their grandchildren were in the house of God. They wanted to make sure that there was a continuation over the things of God, always in that particular situation. My mother had an ability not only to love my father, but to soothe the beastliness, if you will, of my dad. You know, I'm going to pick on you just for a moment, Kennedy. Many times Kennedy has made the statement, I wish I'd gotten to know my grandfather. And I tell her, I said, all you got to do is look at the brothers, and you will see Charlie Prater. Dad is divided amongst all of us. With Dennis, he looks like him. With me, I have his talents. With Greg, he has that even-keeled temper. And sometimes even not so even-keeled. But the reality is that all of these things made up my dad. But when it came to someone that really cared, I think it was mom. I want you to get this. I remember the first time that, and this was just shortly after David had passed on, that it was a hard time for my family. For those of you that don't know, my brother David was born dead, and it was hard on the family. Every one of us faced that, you know, in one particular situation or another. And one cold morning, Mom looked out the window. We had a kitchen table, and I was sitting there with Mom. And here was a little girl that the snow was blowing, and she was in walking barefoot in a short little dress, no coat or anything else. And Mom asked me this question, why? Why would God take my brother only to allow someone to face, someone who doesn't care about children, to have a healthy child that would walk up and down the street like that? She said, I don't understand. You know what my answer was? I don't either. But it made us a stronger and better family because of it. And that was before 1973, before abortion occurred. They'd already taken the prayer out of school. They'd already taken the Bibles out of school. They'd already taken so many things. And reality is, we see the mess of our country and we wonder, is there any... You know, it doesn't matter who we elect. I have no doubt about it. And in fact, I had someone ask if I'd be so kind as to put some materials out on the back to encourage others to vote for him, because he wants to see a greater generation in the state of West Virginia that will not bow down to what we call the woke generation. I looked at that and I went, but why? What is the... We have nothing. And yet, all what are we going to do with that influence? It begins with one particular verse. I want you to turn with me to chapter 15. And look at verse 1. I always thought, and growing up, that the Proverbs were directed. In other words, if I apply these things, then surely these things will be good. Look what it says. A soft answer turneth away wrath. How many of you agree with that? The grievous words stir up anger. And I remember many years ago that I sat with another man, his name, you know, another Christian man, his name was John. And I said, John, I don't understand. He said, well, you do realize that these are maxims. Anyone know what a maxim is? I'm going to tell you. Reality is that a maxim means that whether it is one person or two people, we have to be in the same agreement. Case in point, Matthew chapter 18 says that if two brethren are brought together, and they are well received, then the struggle will be taken any further. And that will only happen if the two of them are in that soul and willing to forgive each other and to allow it to happen. That soft word means that two people have to be in agreement. I remember that after I made that statement to John, he goes, you realize it's a maxim, meaning that there's two people that are understanding and two people that are in agreement, that there can be a happy result to it, there will be that soft answer. But how many times have we ever tried to approach someone and they are dead set against us even trying to approach them? Then what about verse 15? Is this still true? Absolutely, it's still true. But the reality is, don't expect that your self-answer is going to be always received. Jesus gave a soft answer to someone who slapped him and said, "How dare you speak to the high priest?" And Jesus turned to him and was, I don't think he yelled at this man. I think he was very direct when he said, "If I have said anything wrong, declare it. If I'm not saying anything wrong, And I believe that that man immediately became very humbled. Can you imagine in the eternity to come when he sees the Lord God Almighty sitting at, you know, sitting upon the throne of glory? And Jesus said, "You remember when you hit me in the mouth? And you didn't ask for forgiveness? And you didn't want to get things right between me and thee? How do you like me now?" You know, if I really want to be wise, then I have to understand that every little thing means there has to be a calmness. Look with me to Genesis chapter 4. And in Genesis chapter 4, we see the same exact thing. Here you have Cain and Abel as they are being, as they're bringing their flocks and their fruits before the Lord. And God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, but he refused the sacrifice of Cain. And I love what upset with Abel, or was he upset with God? He was upset with God, but he took it out on Abel. Do you realize in this world which we live in, people are upset with us because we will not. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel. I wonder what Abel said. We would love to have been party to that conversation. Notice that it was Cain that was talking to Abel. But do you know why he brought Cain and what Cain and Abel had this conversation? Because in his mind, if I kill Abel, who's going to stand the Lord God's righteousness? Who's going to bring forth that acceptable lamb? Who's going to do all of this? Look what it says in the rest of that verse. And it came to pass that they were in the field. Can you imagine the quietness, the peacefulness? And suddenly Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He killed him. I cannot believe that Abel was not at peace with God. To accept me. You know, here's the dangerous part. If we believe that, we're in trouble. And yet, in this world which we live in, instead of people reading the Word of God and trying to find the course of wisdom, we want to take things on our own and saying, it's got to be right. Cain and Abel didn't do anything wrong, except that he tried to bring comfort. I have. Can you imagine that conversation? But Cain said, but I can almost see Cain going, if God won't accept my vegetables, he won't accept anything. That's the world which we live in. The thing that I find that is amazing is that when two people are fixed in their mind that they're going to follow after evil, they're going to follow it no matter what. The Proverbs that we see are focusing upon not only relationships with individuals, and I'll show this to you. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Notice what it says in this particular verse. It's relationships with the world. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now think about that for a moment. We are going to be focused upon everything under the sun, and people are going to do everything they can to get us to walk away from the truth of things of God. I remember, and this is no joke, I worked at a Holiday Inn many years ago. I was getting ready to go in the military. And this one boy drove this beautiful little red car. I don't even remember what it was, Triumph maybe. And he said, "You're such a cool individual. Man, don't you like to hear the words that you're cool? That you're wrong? That you really are something special? I got something out in the car for you." And he got in the car and he opened up the glove box, and here was the biggest bag of weed I'd ever seen in my life. He said, "You want some?" And immediately I wanted out of that car. Why did I want to leave that car? Warned me. You follow into those wrong things, I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you. I did not partake. And I was afraid that police officers everywhere were looking for him and looking for me. And I did not want that to happen. I went, "Oh God, forgive me." But did you notice what was said by Solomon? Now, and I want you to get this. And I thought about this all the time in my life. And I still do. Look at your children. Look at your grandchildren. If you have them. What do you think of them? Are they the best? Are they studious? Have they got focus? How many of them show signs of rebellion? How many refuse to listen to instruction? No matter what. I remember watching my son, my oldest son, Tony, as he would sit down with the kids and he tried to get them to help make the right decisions, and those kids were always home. But when they became adults, they had to face things on their own. I can almost see Solomon looking at Rehoboam and saying, "Rehoboam, one of these days you're going to be king. But there are certain things about you that I worry about. And one of them is following other people." How many of you see that? How many of you see in verse 10 what I just said? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent to them not. How many of you see that? If you can't see it, turn with me right now to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, we find that Rehoboam is now getting ready to be king over Israel. Now, we understand the decree of God. We understand and we believe that what God was going to allow happen is going to happen. But notice it says in verse 8, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men." What was the counsel of the old men? "Hey, give a break, take it easy upon the people, and man, you will be king for life." Which they had given him and consulted with young men. Boy, that's the biggest problem we've got. That they were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, "What counsel give ye that ye may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it much lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins." Do you realize that Rehoboam didn't listen to Proverbs chapter 1 very well? He had that in his head. He probably... And you know, the reality is they decided to follow after their own path. And guess what? Rehoboam shattered the kingdom. Now, I understand this, as I believe that was all in God's will. But the reality is, Solomon even instructed him that these things are wrong. Why do I bring all these things up? If I really want to understand the truth of the things that are there, then I have to understand what God has given. In chapter 13, once again, we are going to conclude with our sermon, but I want us to look at verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. What am I leaving behind? I think about this myself. What am I leaving for my children? You know, even if I don't leave them a penny, what is the inheritance that I'm leaving for them to enjoy? First of all, I give them my name. And is my name good enough? Second of all, I might leave them a little money, but, you know, money's not going to fix everything. People blow through money every time. I could win the lottery and I could pass that out to them, and I've thought about it. How many different times that I've thought about, you know, what I would do with the lottery? But the reality is that if I don't do the things that I should for them, I can't do it right. And the greatest love I have, can you imagine this? Look at verse 24 one more time. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Do you realize that David had many sons besides Solomon? One of them was called Absalom. I imagine Absalom probably had a little bit of effect. Maybe he had some effect upon Solomon when he was younger. But can you imagine the difficulty of watching Absalom die because he had not been spanked as he should have been or corrected the way he should have been? It's hard to be a parent, right? But guess what? We have a perfect example in the instruction book before us. The hardest part is we don't like to read the instruction book on how we are to raise a child. The reality is, if I am going to be the person that I should be, then I must follow after the plan of God perfectly. Understanding wisdom. I can spend many, many hours trying to understand it, but then instruction means that I'm going to apply it. Every day I have the new opportunity of working with young people, and I want to give them wise instruction. I get to work with teenagers. I get to work with young adults. And I want them to know that I follow God above everything else. What about us? Do we trust God enough that we're going to read His book and pattern our lives accordingly? If we do, then we're going to see the greatest instruction of all. Let's close. Father, again, I want to thank you for the blessings that you've shown us in this day. Help us not to be wise in our own conceits, but Father, help us to be wise in that which you give us. We do thank you, Father, for our mothers. We thank you for our fathers that want to do those things that are right in not only the church, but by their children. We spank our children and it hurts us, Lord, almost as much as our disobedience to you hurts you. But Lord, I pray that in everything we might be the men and women of God that we should be, and guide us and bless us. Watch over us now, Father, as we prepare to conclude in this service. Keep us, we pray thee, in Jesus' precious name, and amen. Brother, we have another song that you want to lead us with?